I now command you, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord, your God, will be with you wherever you go. This is the word of the Lord. So some time ago, like a week or so, we heard about this building that went on fire in London. We probably don't know all the stories that happened around that particular tragedy. But there was an Italian couple that took time to call their family in Italy and to say goodbye. Would you be willing to do that? If you are about to die, you know there is no way out of this hell, because that was hell, basically. And will you be willing to say, I'm going to have to call my family because I'm going to face death right now? That was a very, really difficult call. And yet, they were able to do that because they knew that they need to face death and they need to say goodbye. Today, as we read this text also was in the context of somebody dying. Somebody who was very important for the Israelites had recently died, and then another person, Joshua, was called to be the leader of the people of God. I believe that every person or congregation can experience a new sense of vitality and courage by embracing the following three principles. The first one is that when Joshua was called to lead, he was told that not that Moses will be with him, but that God will be with him. You know, they were so used to Moses, they were not able to get rid of the thought, who is going to lead us? How can we be without Moses? Now that we are going to enter into the promised land, how can we go into that wonderful land without our mighty leader? And then they were struggling. And at that particular moment, God called somebody else and said, look, I want you to do this job, but I want you to be able to do this thinking that I'm with you. Now, you know, I think if we believe that the presence of God is real today as it was in the past, we are in the right road now. You know, sometimes we are so worried about the present that we can't see the future. We are so worried about the past that we can't see the present. But God is telling Joshua, hey, by the way, you know, my servant, and I want you to, if you have your Bible, verse 1, chapter 1, says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses, my servant, is dead. Look, this is important. The book starts with something that is very important for them to embrace, death. You know, he said, you know, your past is dead. Is it hard to accept that? What do you think? He's telling them, look, I am going to do a new thing, but it's not going to look like in the past. It's going to look different. And that's the reason why I'm choosing this other person and these other leaders to do a new thing. But I want you to make sure you understand that the past is dead. So it's hard to get rid of the feeling that you need to be attached to the past. But God is saying, look, my presence is sufficient. Moses' presence was good, but my presence is better. And no, it reminds me about this passage in the book of Hebrews that says that Jesus Christ is the same when? Yesterday, today, and forever. So the presence of God is real today as it was in the past. Even though if you don't have the same situation, like for instance, this congregation might have been a very huge congregation in the past, but that past is in the past. The present is here, and the same God that was with you in the past is the same God that is with you right now. Can you say something about that? Can you say amen? Now, for some churches, it's not that you're going to enter into the promised land. You know, for Joshua and his people was a call to enter into the promised land. Now, for some churches, it's not the same call. Sometimes, some churches or some people is called to go back to the wilderness. You know, the wilderness is a very scary place to be. But what God is saying is, whether you are in the promised land or you are back to the wilderness, I am with you. I hope that makes sense to you this morning, that you don't have to be in a very special place in order to be okay. You might be in a very difficult place, but you will be okay because God is with you. As a person, as a family, as a congregation, God is with you. So the first principle is that, you know, no matter what's going on around, if God is present, you will be fine. I will be fine. So Isaiah chapter 41 verse 10 says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not dismay, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." So he's not saying, you know, if you feel okay, I am with you. If you feel depressed, maybe I will be with you. No, he's saying, doesn't matter how you feel, I am with you. The second principle is that Joshua was told that he's supposed to rely on the book of the law, the scripture. He's told in verse 8, keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it and day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. So the second principle God is telling them, not only that I'm with you, God is saying, but I want you to be with my word. I want you to be guided by the principles that are written in the word of God. So, you know, in a time where everything is shifting, you know, this is a time with everything is shifting and changing so rapidly that it's really hard for us to keep up, isn't it? You know, every day there is a new app, you know, a new thing to learn how to operate, a new system. Every day, every 3 months, there is a change that is happening. And it's really hard for us to really keep up with it. When God is telling us and telling them, look, I understand everything changes. But one thing for sure that doesn't change, which is my word. So that word is supposed to be the guidance for these people. So the Bible also says in Isaiah chapter 40 verse 8, it says, the grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of God endures forever. You know, sometimes we are so worried about what is the last technology, the last strategy to keep a church alive. You know, we want to find the best approach, the best resources, the best tools, the best leaders to keep it alive. And sometimes we neglect the very source that will keep it alive, which is the word of God. If you remember when Jesus was fighting with the devil, remember in the temptation time, he didn't try to convince the devil how bad he was. He was just pointing back to the Bible all the time. Why? Because Jesus knew that the word of God is more powerful than anything. So he was just always going back to the same book. Say, look, even when the devil was asking him to read the Bible, he was telling, look, have you read this passage? And Jesus said, yes, I have. Have you read this one too? So the word of God is supposed to be the guidance, the light, you know, that will really show you the path, the way. I went to this church, and I want to share this with you because sometimes we think we are the only one that we are struggling, right? Sometimes when we are going through a particular challenge, we feel that this is us only. But I went to this particular church. I will not say the name. And so I met with the elders there, and we were talking about how the church finds itself in a community that was supposed to be, in the past, was exactly like they are. You know, I'm talking about an European-American church, you know. So when they started the church, everybody looked like them, speak like them, behave sort of like them, and they were used to that. Some years later, you know, they find themselves in a community that is 70% somebody else. And the rest of it will be part of that, will be then. And then they don't know how to really wrestle with that reality. The church is shrinking. The church is aging. It's hard to believe that they are now in the wilderness. They used to be in the promised land. And now they are in the wilderness because they don't know how to deal with that reality. And what I asked them to think about was, you know, let's imagine that this congregation will close the door today. What is it that you would like to leave behind? It's not what is it that you want to preserve only, or what is it that you want to control? What is it that you really want to leave behind? What is your legacy? They said, we haven't thought about it. All we are busy with is to survive. Isn't it true for us too? Sometimes we are so busy with surviving that we don't pay attention to life around us. And excuse me if your preacher doesn't preach like me like this. Maybe she preaches from there. I've never seen her preaching, by the way. Oh, she walks like me? Good. Anyways, but, you know, so they were wrestling with that question. What is our legacy? Was know how to survive. Now, what is our legacy? And I think God, the Lord was asking Joshua to think about the past with gratitude, but do not be too attached to it because I'm going to give you a new land. I'm going to give you a new reality. This is going to be different. So I did notice that they started to think and talk about it with excitement. Because now they're thinking, no, how are we going to survive? But how are we going to continue to provide the light of Christ in this community, even if we are not here anymore? So when Joshua was supposed to be leading, one of the things that the people of God asked into chapter 1, verse 16 and 17 was, we will follow you, Joshua. But there is only two conditions for you if you want to be our leader. Number one, we want you to show us that God is with you. And number two, be courageous. If you can do that, Joshua, we'll follow you. The same way we follow Moses. By the way, they gave Moses a lot of trouble. And they also gave Joshua some trouble. But it doesn't matter. But the point was that the people of God needs to know that God is alive in their midst and that the leaders of the church and the whole church is courageous, is willing to do whatever it takes to do God's will, whatever that will be. So the question is, how do I become a more courageous person or a more courageous congregation? Well, here's the answer. Make sure that you understand that God is alive among you. That he's with you, that he's not going to try to be with you, that he's with you. Make sure you follow whatever the word of the Lord is saying. And three, pay attention to the people of God, because sometimes we need to be challenged. You know, we need to be encouraged, but we also need to be challenged. And maybe God is telling us this day, look, do not think about survival. Think about life. How do you continue to give life? I hope that makes sense to you. Because that's exactly what we need these days. We have so many challenges, not only in the United States, all over the world. We have so many challenges, and we need to be courageous. We need to step into the plate and say, I am going to do this. It doesn't matter. God is with me. God is with us. He's going to help us. He's going to guide us. You know, I've been in places where churches have to reconfigure themselves and become a different thing But then they will realize that that was exactly what God was asking them to do. I've been in churches where they need to close those doors, not because God was not alive, it was precisely because God was telling them to do so. And here's why what I use in order to finish, because I imagine you want to go to lunch. Do you? Right? Right. You know, think about at least three churches that were part of the Bible. The church in Ephesus, the church in Smyrna, the Philippi church, the Philadelphia church. Where are they? Have you ever been to Israel or to all those places where even the church in Jerusalem, the original church, where are they? They are not there any longer, but we are here. You know why? Because they kept on preaching and sharing life until that life reached the United States of America 2,000 years before. And now, today, we are called to do the same, not to preserve our names, not to preserve our own ideas or feelings or legacies, but the legacy of Christ among all of us. Shall we pray? Let's pray. We need you. We need your courage. We need your grace. We need your presence. We need your power. We need your guidance. We need your ability to move forward without fear. And I thank you for this congregation. And I thank you for their leadership. And I thank you for their faith and their faithfulness and their commitment to you. And I pray that you continue to guide this congregation into the future. And I pray that you continue to bless us through this service. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.